Hello and welcome back to another episode of Hey You Online. If you're joining us for the very first time, my name is Nick.
And my name is Ryan. And did you know that the equator of the moon is smaller than the width of Australia? I think that's pretty cool. So that the moon around the equator
is that like...
Like this Australia is, from east to west.
This is like too early in the podcast for like math, dude.
I was giving you a fact. I'm not asking you to calculate anything.
Yeah, but it's hurting my noodle. What is an adult problem that nobody prepared you for?
Clearly mathematics.
No, they tried and failed miserably.
Yeah, they did try. It didn't work out. So one that no one prepared me for was making friends past the age of 23. And I don't mean like getting along with people and making friends. I mean like really good friends that cross friendship groups. Like I have friendship groups that are like work friends, and then I have like some social friends from back in the day.
I feel like a lot of people from work don't really count as like friends. They're more like acquaintances. Like unless you do things with them outside of work, like they're not really.
No, but even in that scenario, as you get older, you do more things with them outside of work, but you do them with only the work people, and then like you'll have work events outside of work that are. They're optional. But then, you know, like you'll have like couples friends, and you'll only do things with when you're with other couples.
But does that not stem from like? Does that not stem from like you don't like you're kind of? I feel like you're kind of a different person at work. Like, does that stem from you don't really want to see, you know, your work people to see your non-work friends because they might think, oh, this guy's, you know, not the same.
I have some work friends who listen to our podcast. If you're listening, shoot me a message and let me know how different I am at work. I really don't think I'm that different.
See,
I think I'm the same.
But I feel like it's maybe judgment that could go both ways. Like either you don't want your work friends to meet your real friends because, well, real friends implying work friends are not actual friends. No, you don't want people work.
No, it's not real people. They're friends. They're just fake.
They are make-believe. They are robots to get rid of all of the things. You know, Elon Musk already did that thing. He got rid of all the employees. They're only robots.
Yeah, the real people are on Mars.
Yeah. No, but like it's the judgment. It's like my fear of being judged for not cleaning up. I think it's fear of being judged on your friendship groups or choices because it's like either you'll be like, oh, here's my work friends. And then your out of work friends will be like, those people are weird. Why are they your friends? Or your work friends are going to be like, wow, okay, that's a whole different side of you that I didn't know, you know. But then it's like you have to then see them every day at work as well, so you don't really want to have to deal with that kind of judgment. So I feel like hardly ever have I introduced my partner to anybody from work, you know.
Yeah,
and like I don't know if that's like I don't know. It's like, well, do you really want to meet them? But then again, I don't really hang out with people from work anyway. Like, there's not.
But that's what I mean. This is the whole point of what I'm saying. No one was telling me that like you're basically just gonna have this segment of people. Like your life will just be segmented into different friendship groups, and they'll never cross over. And you know, like because of the way you had a friend when you were younger, you just had a friend who you basically did everything with, like. Anything and everything.
So no one prepared you to be like, Ryan, look, in the future you're never gonna have any friends. Look, I thought I was above that joke, but I'm clearly not. But no, the way you made friends when you were younger is that you were all locked in the one room together, school, and you couldn't get out, and basically it's like you were forced to get along, and that's how you made friends. Which
but
is kind of what it's like at work,
outside of work. Yeah, outside of school.
But because you had no choice, those were the only people you knew. Like, your parents are not going to be like, oh, let's take you out to socialize. You're not a dog. You don't go to the dog park. You know, like, I'm going to take my kid out to play with the other kids in the kid park. Is it just called a park? I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's just a
playground. Yeah.
I think that happens.
But then you want to be, like, around, like, known kids, you know, like, that can go to the same school and that, you know, like, are at least vetted by, like, a third party that, like, yes, these people aren't feral. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's different, I guess.
Or in my case, you made sure they didn't go to your school.
So that you were going, hanging out with the upper class.
Of course. Yeah, exactly.
I have to set a good example for my child. He can only hang out with people that are better than him.
What about you? What was your answer for this?
Yeah, look, no one prepared me for the self-control required for junk food. Like, in my family growing up, it wasn't so much like a, you know, like a, oh, know your limit, or here's a portion size. It was always like a, oh, you're not eating junk food. You're not allowed it. Shouldn't eat that. You know, don't eat sugary crap. But then at the same measure, it was always like, well, if you're going to do something bad, do it properly. Like, don't put on a shitty, tiny little piece of jam on your toast. Just, like, slather it on. Like, get it all on there, you know? Like, so, like, I never really found the line. Like, on the scale of no junk food to, like, eating the entire block of chocolate, I didn't know where was acceptable. It was kind of like a...
so relatable.
I just didn't know. And I still don't know. I'm like, you know what? I could go an entire block of chocolate right about
it. Do you know what the trigger is for me?
Yeah.
The trigger for me in that exact same problem, but the problem we had when we were younger was that, like, we would buy a block of chocolate, but you just had to get to it before your brothers got to it.
That was
it.
Exactly.
Wasn't a case of, I'll leave some in the fridge for later because I'm trying to control. It was like, if I can grab more, that means that I can maybe try portion out, but I won't because I know they might steal it. So it's a case of, I've just got to get my hands on as much of it as I can because it won't be here later. See, that was why I lack self-control.
Maybe.
Right? Or that is why.
And maybe this is a problem exclusively for guys with only brothers or people with just like excessive amounts of brothers, is that...
Hmm.
I would go to school or like hang out with people or whatever. And like, you know, they would hear like, you know, you'd hear the thing of like, oh, if you get like a bag of lollies, make sure you save the good ones till... No, you don't save the good ones to last, because what happens is that either the good ones get stolen if you leave them to last, or your parents are like, oh, your brother ran out of lollies, make sure you share them, you know, with your brother. And it's like, we each received a bag of lollies and then like they ate theirs first and now I have to share mine. That doesn't sound fair. And like, more to the point is that it's like, it was always like a lot of quantity as well. So it's like, you know, you go through like periods of like, oh, you're not allowed any junk food, not allowed any of this. You know, it's like you go through like, you know, like the lead up to Easter, you're going through Lent because Catholic. It's like, oh, we're giving up chocolate, no junk food, nothing for like 40 days. And then it's like Easter, it's like fucking raining chocolate, bitches. Just have here kilos of chocolate. And then it's like, I don't know. Where's the line?
Somewhere between nothing and kilos, I think, is where the line should be. Yeah. Yeah, that's so true. And I never bought like a bar of chocolate, because you would buy like a slab of chocolate, because a bar of chocolate, you can't share a bar of chocolate. So you only ever had a slab. So there was no built-in portion control to this. It was just like a free-for-all. And sometimes you'd lose out. But that wasn't your own, like the little amount that you got on the times that you lost out wasn't your self-control kicking in. It was the fact that you weren't aggressive enough.
This is the most that we could get.
Yeah, exactly.
The rule in my house is always, whenever it came to food, it was, if you're not here, you miss out. So basically, like, you're kind of screwed. You just got to be at the dinner table. That's it.
Exactly. Exactly. So, follow-on question.
Yeah.
What adult problem did people over-prepare you for, and doesn't really seem like that big of a deal?
Look, I might have mentioned this before, but, you know, the whole saying no to drugs, or don't drink and drive, don't give into peer pressure. I pretty much, like, solved all of that by not going to parties and having no friends. So, I mean, like, doesn't seem like a problem.
No one comes into my house and offers me drugs.
I don't go anywhere. I don't see anybody. It's not a problem.
Yeah, getting around it through pure sadness. That's okay. For me, I think it was... I thought about this one for a while. I'm surprised I didn't come up with the same answer, but I find mine was living on your own. Like, I don't... Or just living out of home. I don't... It's just... It's never really... a big deal, you know. Like, I remember when I was younger, Mum would always be like, you know, you're gonna have to do this yourself. One, like,
yeah, just, mothers would always say that. Maybe it's because they were like, trying to get you to appreciate how much, like, they did for you. So it's like, don't you forget it. That, like, you know, the common...
Some validation for the hours of thankless work, maybe. Yeah,
I almost got my my mum sayings wrong. Like, I was almost about to be like, don't you forget, I brought you into this world, I can take you out. I've heard that one a few times.
Wait a minute, that was my dad saying.
That was both of my parents. It's probably a miracle I made it to adulthood.
Yeah, but, like, you know, like, things like washing and all that and paying bills and all that sort of stuff, it was just like, before I moved out, I was like, I have no idea how to do this, really. And then, because people would sort of tell you, oh, it's going to be a big deal. And then, you know, you moved out and you're like, oh, okay, so I just do this. Okay.
It's pretty straightforward.
Cool. Yeah, it just wasn't really that big of a deal.
Clothes go in washing machine, turn on.
Yeah. Sort your colors.
How would you explain horses to an adult person who doesn't know what a horse is?
Yeah. So they're kind of like a giant dog, but they're all muscle. They're very prone to injury, both you and them. You can ride them.
It's just
them.
A magnet for injury.
Yeah, they really are a magnet.
Everyone around them gets hurt.
Like a dog, but larger in the sense that expense-wise as well. They're like, you know, a dog is a small expense in comparison to a horse.
Right now, I'm just picturing a direwolf.
kind of, but maybe with shorter hair. They're not that much different. They're herbivores, so maybe that throws your direwolf out. And they're also extremely moody. Okay. And they also really, 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 like... I can clearly picture a panic face on them. They spook incredibly easily.
Now I'm just picturing one of those, like, giant fainting goats.
Have you ever seen a spooked horse's eyes?
No.
They look like if they had a knife, they would just start slashing. Like, they look terrifying when they're scared.
Gotta rate yours about a 5 out of 10. Well, I'm kind of getting there. If I didn't know what a horse was, I think I still probably wouldn't, like, be any the wiser. But then again, I don't know. You tell
if
me.
If you're just going to be like a unicorn without a horn, I'm going to be pretty pissed.
Okay, hang on. I got to come up with something else then.
a centaur, but without the human.
All right. You rate mine then. So they eat hay. They make a noise that sounds like nay. I promise the rest of this won't rhyme. They have 4 legs with some fabulous shoes. Their tail is pretty much just hair, hence ponytail. I mean, come on, people, it was right there. Their face looks a little bit like Sarah Jessica Parker, or it could be the other way around. Not sure. Cowboys like to ride them. Not talking about your mum here.
Oof.
And they run really fast, and they're also the main ingredient in glue.
Oh, yeah. That's... factual and sad.
I'm all about the sadness.
Really, really brings back down to reality the sadness of horses. So, also the most abused animal on the planet in terms of all wars.
Yes, they are. I'm not sure if that really got you any closer than a 5 out of 10.
I started envisioning... when you reached Sarah Jessica Parker and then also the ponytail thing. So kind of a weird, not quite horse-like vision going on in my head right now, but probably a 6, I would say.
Okay.
It's closer than I was.
Slightly closer. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll
maybe like...
just take this one as a medal and hang
that
on my wall.
We could mix it with like Sarah Jessica Parker fused with a giant dog. With a ponytail. That's
ponytail on the butt, not on the back of the head, because otherwise that's just the centaur.
Wait, yeah, we're just describing a centaur now, aren't we? No, well, she has horse-like qualities, whereas centaurs have human-like qualities,
Is she a centaur?
Oh... no,
that's a whole level of philosophy I don't know if we can get into.
But then it's Is this still a centaur when you're top horse, bottom human? Or is that something else? Or is it just half and half still fine? Let's move on. We'll move on. It's fine.
These are questions that science yet can't answer.
Exactly, exactly. We don't have the vocabulary to define them.
Or the intellect. Yeah, if we're being honest.
Say the words in a coherent sentence. So, Nick, moving on. Do you think that we'll ever eat alien life from another planet?
I mean, yes, because by definition, alien is anything that comes from another country. So, technically, if we're getting very...
I said another planet.
I know. Okay, my actual answer, I thought that was going to be funny, but well, clearly, tough crowd. Yeah, look, actually, I think we would, because at some stage or another, whether out of hunger, you know, like curiosity, or even just plain boredom, I think humans would probably eat alien life. Like, think of the things that everyone's eaten, you know, like, it's at a certain point, you got to wonder, like, how the fuck did we think that that was good? You know, milk is the classic one, like... You just know that it was the first person that had milk just probably went up and, you know, just suckled on the teat.
The first person who had milk was also into some other weird shit that never caught on. Like, he would have to have been into some super weird shit. And then the one thing they were like, oh, actually, we like that one, but also back into the woods you go. wouldn't have been a hinged human.
Yeah, that's Jerry. We don't talk to him often. He's a bit strange. But, I mean, seriously, though, if we went to a planet, like, let's say we went to Mars, right, and we didn't find anything living there, but we found, like, fossils or like, you know, some kind of ancient remains, I guarantee you that we're going to find a way to do something. Because, like... humans have proven time and time again that we are just so fucked up that we're going to find a way to do something like that.
We're very good at destroying things.
And like, just like doing things without asking whether we should, you know, like we can do it, but should we, you know?
We're very good at apologizing afterwards for the thing that we didn't ask permission for.
Sometimes. I don't even think we apologize sometimes. Like, you know, like for example... we are now, like, and this is why, like, more fuel to why I think we would eat alien life is, like, we're currently, it's not good enough that we've got, you know, like, all of the animals on Earth that we're eating at the moment. We have to then also grow meat in a lab to then be like, we should eat that too, you know? Like, it's just because we want to eat everything, you know?
Yeah.
But then also, there's this thing, right? Okay, this cheese, and you might have heard of it before. You might know where I'm going. If you do know where I'm going, you know, you can feel free to skip this part. If you don't and you're a bit squeamish, feel free to skip this part. But there's a cheese called Kazumatsu, right? And it's this cheese from Sardinia. It's like some kind of like a Italian French thing. Basically what happens is that they take like a sheep milk cheese, pecorino or whatever it is, and then what happens is that they let it out to get fly blown and maggots grow in it, and they eat the cheese and kind of poop it out, kind of like a worm would do with soil, and then they eat that cheese with the maggots in it. Yeah. Now, and that's just like actually, like, you know, like a heritage thing, you know, like they're very like traditional. I'll link a video on Reddit about this, because like the people that are like making all this stuff, like they love it. They think it's great, you know, but like, you just know that like at a certain point it was either absolute hunger or starvation. Like, well, our last cheese got fly blown, you know, I'm just going to have to eat it. Or it was like some kind of curiosity.
Maggots are a good source of protein.
Yeah. It was some kind of a curiosity or like a debt, or even just like a somebody being like, you know what, let's fuck with these white guys. I'm going to sell them some cheese and tell them it's some kind of fucking delicacy, and I'm going to watch them eat maggoty cheese. You know, like, it's got to be that kind of, like, so humans are just weird. So yes, we would eat alien life.
To your first point, where you were talking about how the people are crazy about it who make it, That's sort of a given, because it's not the kind of thing you get into being like, oh, I'm a little on the fence about maggot cheese. Maybe I'll make it and sell it. It's really not, you know, the business that people flock to when they're undecided
about it. You're not on the fence about it. It's not like oh, yes, one rather. It's either you love it,
you know,
or you're
maybe
like,
I'll make it for a couple of years, then I'll decide. So my response to this one was a bit more, well, my initial response to this was like, no ways. You know, I've seen too many movies of us just trying to make contact and, you know, get along with them.
The alien then, movies, just like some, you know, like, oh, that's a bad case of indigestion. I don't know.
Well, I wasn't really thinking about us eating them. I was just sort of thinking like them being very intelligent life. But then I figure if we travel to their planet,
they would eat us?
Who knows? Maybe they'd try. then it's fair game. That's fine. But I mean, like, at that point, you know, whatever goes. But you know, you sort of think, okay, there's no way we would do it. Surely we would try to communicate with them, and maybe it's just like a communication barrier. We wouldn't eat them. But then I sort of think, you know, if we were aliens and we came to Earth, there's no, like, would we, and I'm still not sure, like, I'm not decided about this, would we look at cows and be like, there's no way we'd eat them? Or would we look at cows and still be like, yeah, we'll eat that?
No,
and
it's
at that point,
around.
We'd be eating aliens.
Yeah. Like, I think what's more likely is that we would like what we did with all the other countries when we discovered them, is that we would be like, we're going to Mars, I'm bringing a cow. You know, like, and you'd bring your own cows. Type of thing, but you'd still probably be like, oh, well, this is the native cuisine, I should try some of this. But actually, your other point, like, if they were super advanced, got me down thinking down a funny path, because, like, imagine if that, like, you know, there was some super advanced, like, intelligent, like, alien species, but they're, I don't know, like, maybe they're like the pizza men and they're just like absolutely delicious, and then we're like gonna try and hunt them down. Like, we could like form a good connection with them if we communicate, but we're just gonna hunt them down and, like, right, try and eat them. But then at the same time, they probably think that we're incredibly delicious, so they try and, like, you just got, like, two parties just kind of, like, it's kind of like survival for the fittest. Who's going to hunt who down first? Who's going to, you know, capture and eat the other? Like, it just seems strange.
Yeah, it's,
but then
it's
that's
like Alien
nature.
Vs. Predator, but lunch edition.
Predator vs. Predator.
And a strange thought whenever we talk about aliens, because I think about this a fair bit. Can you imagine how much of a bummer it would be if aliens came to Earth and turns out, like, because we always think aliens will come to Earth and then they'll just, like, engage with humans. But what happens if they came to Earth and they just engaged with, like, birds? They were like, you are the superior species on this planet, and just like ignored us entirely and tried to communicate with the birds, and maybe they could because we had bird aliens. Or, like, you know, they just landed on Earth and just went straight into the ocean and just, like, started talking to whales and shit. And we're just like, yo, we're here. We're the most important things. And then the aliens are just like, yeah, no, you're not. That would just be like the biggest.
I wouldn't even mind.
Go to war with them quickly.
Oh yeah.
Because anyone, it's like, you know, we're like the baby that never got the attention then. Of course we're going to start throwing nukes around.
You,
like,
just,
it's the only
know.
Reasonable response to that.
Even if they didn't start talking, you know, just to humans, they just start talking to animals. If they went to, like, I don't know, New Zealand and then just didn't even stop at America first, I'm sure that New Zealand would just be getting nuked by Americans. It's like, this is not fair. All the movies say they come to us. This was my birthright.
They're not attacking New York City. Why? we should strike first. Oh, that would be good. That would be funny. Although sad for New Zealand, but anyway, and the rest of the world, I suppose, at the same time.
All right, guys, we're going to change it up a little bit. So on our Reddit, we're now no longer going to be posting any additional questions. What we're going to be doing now is that we're going to be going through and putting up all of our questions that we answered in this week's episode. We're going to put it through any links and anything that we referenced, anything that we might have, you know, like, thought was relevant, I guess, to any of the things that we talked about. We're also going to pop up each of our favorite moments from this episode. So head on over there if you want to get some more information from this episode, if you just want to see what we enjoyed, and let us know what you enjoyed as well. So you can leave a comment there over at r/heyyouonline. You can also shoot us an email through to heyyouonlinepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send through any questions and let us know if you want to take any credit for it. And if you've been enjoying our podcast, please feel free to share it around with your family and friends. It's the greatest way that you can let us know that you're enjoying what we're doing. All right, Ryan, let's get on to our final questions for this episode.
All right, Nick, what doesn't deserve the hate that it gets?
So I actually answered this question wrong because I apparently can read good like. So I'm going to answer the question that I read in my head.
So, do you want me to answer? Do you want me to answer my side of this before this spirals out of control?
Yes, please.
Okay, so the answer that I had for what doesn't deserve the hate it gets is sharks. I think in Australia we have like a super amount of fear associated with them.
And because we're surrounded by water. Like, yeah, we're trapped by the sharks.
Yeah, well, to it. Oh, no. Like, so personally, fuck all sharks. I don't particularly care much for them. But I also recognize that my response to them is probably a bit over the top. You know, they're pretty cool creatures. There's so few attacks in comparison to the amount that we basically just invade their habitat nonstop. So overall, I reckon, at least personally, the hate that I give to sharks is very much not on par with the hate that it deserves to be receiving.
Do you feel like you're holding on to a lot of hate? Are you feeling bad for
the amount? I'm not feeling bad.
Guilty?
Again, fuck sharks. Like, cannot stress that enough. If I saw a shark in the ocean, my first response would be to swim over to it to try punch it in the nose, because that's
sure?
just what I feel like I've been conditioned to do.
Are you sure that is what you would do?
Well, it depends distance. If it's more than a meter, no. If it's less than a meter, I think it's easier for me to hit it than it is for me to try get out of the ocean.
I feel like you're going to lose a hand, but hey.
I didn't say it's the smart approach to shark interaction, but it is probably the approach I would take before thinking.
Fair enough.
That's what I've got. So what question were you trying to answer?
The question I was trying to answer, when I read this, I actually read, now I'm looking at the question. I'm like, how did I get that? That was quite a dumb way. Basically,
what deserves the doesn't hate that it gets?
Basically, I read it as what doesn't get the hate it deserves. So, which is a little bit of a different tangent, but basically, ads in things that you've paid for. So I'm talking like
the old Amazon Prime.
No. But like, I'm talking like, okay, so I've got a Samsung phone, right? And part of the thing that they've got is like, they've got like some kind of Samsung Pay, right? And that you can add your like bank cards, your loyalty cards, whatever it is. And it's kind of meant to be like a quick access tap and go type of thing with your phone. But when you open it up, right, up at the very top, maybe like a quarter of the screen is filled up with their like ads for like, you know, their Galaxy Buds, or like, have a look at what Samsung's doing. And it's like, I paid for this phone. I purchased it outright. You did not have the right to advertise to me on my personal property. Like, then to me, it's like, nobody talks about this. So like, why are we not getting more upset about this? Especially when you hear about things like people purchase cars and they go through some of the settings and there's like ads from like, you know, like mobile companies in like their, you know, like on the screen in their car, you know, the center console type of thing. And it's like, I do not understand why it has suddenly become acceptable for advertising to be put on things that you like own, you know? And maybe I think, I can't remember who it was. I feel like it was our mutual friend who might have pointed this out, or whatever it was. On your cars, when you like, at least in Australia, I'm not sure if this happens overseas. On your cars, when you buy it, around the number plate, usually the dealer will have like a little plastic trim that's got like their little like, come down to like, you know, like Holden, this suburb, you know, and it's like, get rid of that. That's free advertising for them. And I feel like it was the slippery slope that kind of started all this crap. It's like,
yeah,
don't put advertising on shit that I paid full price for and own. You know, it's not...
My brother went to a mechanic and they put a sticker on his car of the mechanic, which we took off immediately when we came home. But I was like, you have the audacity to just brand something you worked on?
Exactly.
No, that is bullshit. Like, I think that is all lies.
Yeah, and I don't understand why people aren't more upset about this. Like,
yeah.
So that to me hit a nerve.
Okay, I'm going to make this the last question because I also have something that annoys me here. And it's on a similar vein. But for me, it is Amazon Prime. But it's Amazon Prime. If you've ever got Amazon Prime Video, I don't understand why you pay for a premium service to then rent something from them. Like, you literally pay for a premium service and then they have movies on there that you then have to rent. I'm like, but I already gave you money. Why are you asking for more money for the service that I literally gave you money for? That drives me insane. I cannot stand that. There's like a free shitty collection of movie and then every movie you actually want to watch is pay-gated again.
Yeah.
It's just... Oof. And you unlock it, and when you pay for it, you rent it. So you rent it for like 24 hours. So you don't even after you pay, you still don't own it. It's just insane. I feel like that should be received. When I first saw that, I Googled the hell out of it because I was so angry about it. And then I saw like one article of some dude who was furious, and I'm like, I'm that guy. Why is no one else that guy?
I wrote that article. final question, Ryan. And it's kind of a follow-on. So, like, originally... And I don't know why, because I came up with this question after reading your original question. And it makes sense, because your original question was, what doesn't deserve the hate it gets? And my final question is, what does deserve the hate it gets? So I have no idea how I got it wrong when I was answering it
before.
What
was your made up one? What gets hate that it doesn't deserve? Is that...
No.
You're just dyslexic. I don't know how you did it, but it still made sense at the end of it.
It did. So, what does deserve the hate it gets?
Okay, easy, commuting. It's literally the worst thing ever. It can go die. Commuting is terrible. Trains, cars, traffic, just all of it. Burn all of it. I hate it. And everyone hates it, so it's good.
Hmm. Yeah, I can agree with that. Yeah, look, my answer was Twilight. That show...
Oh, yeah?
So Amy and I are doing this thing where we're, you know, watching movies again. But Twilight, the script... fucking terrible. But like, the thing that actually gets me more, okay, if you put that aside, yeah, as hard as it is, because that's just absolute trash,
difficult,
there is, okay, so there was the old joke where it's like Twilight, you know, it's a girl's choice between necrophilia and bestiality, obviously vampires being dead and, you know,
classic
werewolves.
Good comedy.
Yeah,
it's clean humor.
Great stuff. But and I always thought that was a joke, but I'm actually more inclined to think that that is correct. Because, like, Stephanie Myers, whoever wrote that
book... It's actually the synopsis.
Stephanie, like, she must have something fucked up going on in her life. Because, okay, so the premise of it, if you watched the movie, or even if you read the book, so the last, like, movie, like, they broke into two parts, like Breaking Dawn. So, like, the whole thing is, it's like, she has a daughter, right? But it's, yeah, like... half human, half vampire, right? So it's like...
it's the worst of both.
Or the best, I have no idea. But basically, it's like this thing is expected to, you know, reach maturity or like become like an adult within 7 years after being born, right? Okay? And is then meant to be like, you know, live for a very long time. So what happened in the movie was, and this is not spoilers because this was released so long ago, so if you haven't watched it, well, it's your own fucking fault.
If you haven't watched it, you're welcome.
It's ruined. Don't watch it anyway.
I haven't seen it, but I already know I don't want to, so that's fine.
So Jacob, right, in there, he's like the werewolf, the main attraction, the werewolf.
Okay, call him Wolf Boy and Bat Boy. that's the only way I'll follow this story.
Okay, so Wolf Boy basically does this thing where he, what do they call it? They call it imprinting. Basically, it's something that's uncontrolled, and they're kind of like, that's, you know, like, this person is the one that, like, I've imprinted on. Like, I would do anything for them. I would die for them. You know, like, they're going to unconditionally care for them and that type of thing. Whilst it's a baby. Okay. So, okay, fair enough. So I'm thinking maybe, like, he's some kind of, like, a godfather thing, you know? Sure. And then like it's going on, like they make the one of the last lines in the movie is like, you know, they kind of find out that the girl is going, because it's a girl, the baby girl is going to get full grown within 7 years. And then it's like the line is from Jacob to Edward, who's the dad. It's like, so should I start calling you dad now? I'm like,
hold on.
So like he's going to be dating this fucking 7-year-old. Like, you know, like 7 years time, she's going to be fully grown. Like she's going to look like an adult, but she'll only be 7 years old. And then he's like an 18-year-old going to be like, let's, like, I'm going to, you know, like, cause he's imprinted on her. He obviously.
So they got the trifecta. They got pedophilia, bestiality, and necrophilia. That's impressive. To do that in the space of a few books.
In like a romantic mood. Like that's why Twilight to me deserves the hate it gets, because that is fucked up.
Yeah, it's a lot of levels are messed up to go. I've never really followed that, and that was a very long explanation of that movie series. I feel like that got a lot more. I almost feel like I've seen the movies now. In fact, maybe I've even read the books at this point by the sound of that description. And with that, we'll give you the rest of your day back.
See you in the next episode, guys.
See you guys.